what exactly is MP Daryl Maguire being investigated for, or should say former MP Daryl Maguire? I mean, how is it he has allegedly abused his time in office?
Well, it's in a number of ways. So it began, this ICAC investigation began with an investigation into some dealings that he had with a former Canterbury City Council councillor around property development, in which they appeared to be making arrangements to get a cut each from a property deal. But since then, it's broadened out into a wider range of activities to do with essentially Mr. Maguire using his former parliamentary office to facilitate a range of deals involving, you know, Wagga Council, the Roads Department, immigration schemes, and the like. So there's a number of different aspects to this. He seems to have been a very energetic user of his parliamentary resources for these sorts of activities involving, you know, trying to help various businesses to get permission for developments, to get infrastructure and, you know, roads put in the right places and so on, to get people into the country who were ostensibly working on working visas but didn't work and the like.
And it's purely on the basis of this personal relationship that Gladys Berejiklian has been drawn into this kind of web made by Maguire.
Yeah, I think the question is it's fairly obvious that the question is the extent to which it remained entirely a personal relationship. That is, there were, you know, there was a sort of a Chinese wall, if you like, between their public affairs, their public work, and their private relationship. And that'll be tested again today in the ICAC hearings, I'm sure. But it's becoming, I guess, clearer that there are a number of occasions where Maguire certainly seems to have used that relationship to help give the impression that he had access to the Premier and to other ministers. Now, whether that impression that he gave was, you know, merely him trying to give that impression in order to you know, build up his own reputation. We've seen a bit of that in the inquiry so far, or whether it was actually instrumental in getting certain things done, we're yet to see.
Well, obviously, as we say, that's coming from him, but from Berejiklian's side, it seems like a lot is being made of this this conversation they've had, where she's basically said, I don't need to know, I don't want to know what you are being involved with here. Is there really a way of separating these professional and personal relationships in such a fashion?
Well, it's difficult. You know, this is why we have conflict of interest rules, and those, you know, those rules are inevitably don't cover, you know, leave ambiguities, don't cover all eventualities. But, and there are a number of ways of interpreting that statement by Gladys Berejiklian, which is, you know, taken from a phone call. So it's very difficult to know precisely what she meant by that. But, you know, one interpretation of it at least is that she knew there was something that she shouldn't know, which raises the question, if she knew there was something that she shouldn't have known, why didn't she pursue that further with him? And if necessary, you know, take further action. So, you know, she says that it's evidence that she didn't know anything was going on. But, you know, another interpretation of that is that, you know, in order to make a statement like that, you have to have some suspicion. And if you have some suspicion as a minister of the Crown, then you ought to be doing something about that. That's certainly the opposition's position, but it's also the position of a number of public commentators on this.
There have been calls, of course, for Berejiklian to resign, coming, of course, from the opposition. Is this a likely consequence for the Premier? Can she survive this, or is it perhaps an overreach from the other side?
Well, we'll have to wait and see, ultimately. But I mean, the opposition has already moved motions of no confidence. They were very unlikely to succeed where they had to succeed, which is in the Legislative Assembly, the lower house. The upper house was more of an open question, as it turns out, that motion lost extremely narrowly on the vote of the president, of the Liberal, the president of the Legislative Council, who is a Liberal MLC. I think the broader question is not about the vote of no confidence. It's about the, if you like, the so-called court of public opinion. And I think that will be what proves more difficult for the Premier. And I think this is why we've seen, a lot of past and present Liberal leaders coming out in support of Gladys Berejiklian, because they understand that the key arena, if you like, for keeping her as Premier is really to ensure as best they can that the public doesn't change its mind or about her performance as a result of these allegations. Mm. And that'll be what Labor will be pushing for, if you like. I'm sure they didn't expect to win the vote of no confidence motion, at least in the Legislative Assembly, but they went ahead with it. It's not overreach in that regard. They have a legitimate point, and I think they argued the point about not referring this, not the Premier not taking matters further, not finding out more for herself to establish what the basis of Maguire's dealings were. So in my view, they've played this perfectly legitimately, because there is a matter of public interest and integrity, ministerial integrity involved here. But it won't be in the Parliament, essentially, that this will be decided. It will be, we'll see this in terms of, public opinion as it's measured either by, opinion polling or the other sorts of measures that some parties make. And if it turns out that Berejiklian, as a result of that, is, becomes unpopular or becomes discredited, then her position will be very difficult.
It was just one I wanted to touch on you with just before I do let you go, Rodney. That court of public opinion there, ICAC's obviously been criticised for its public hearings being an opportunity to sort of unfairly implicate people in wrongdoing. That's certainly a criticism that's been made of it. And in this case, as you say, they seem to have acted perfectly legitimately. But I think for a lot of casual observers of state politics, Gladys Berejiklian was somebody who, up until this point, has stayed completely uninvolved from corruption, has seemed very clean up until this point. Is there a need to balance, obviously, public interest and transparency with a fairness of consequence for those that are being investigated?
Yes, there certainly is. And this has been a criticism of the ICAC since its establishment. It was established as a body that would primarily conduct open investigations, public investigations of the kind that we're seeing now. And that over the years has been criticised, not just by politicians, but by lawyers and civil libertarians, because it is the case that you can be brought before the ICAC and, have lots of things said about you in the media and by the public as a result. And at the end of the day, the allegations are not substantiated, or they go to court and you're found not guilty. The classic case of that, I guess, was former Premier Nick Greiner, who set up the ICAC. So there is question that issue, and some other jurisdictions have a different approach to investigations, which is to hold them in private and only release the results once a determination has been made that corruption has occurred. So there's an argument. There's an argument for having public hearings that the public has a right to know, but there is an argument around reputation and the fact that this isn't the ICAC isn't a court per se. It is an investigative body, and a lot of damage can be done to people's reputations, perhaps wrongly, by the fact that investigations are public.
Well, Rodney, do appreciate it's been an interesting week. Do appreciate you unpacking this one for us a little bit.
Yeah, no problem.